Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On Track 1, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On Track 2, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 12, Number 9. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I introduced one of the most important nutrition concepts that I know of, especially for athletes who train with purpose and intensity. Eat as hard as you train. That's it. That's the concept. Easy to say, but enormously difficult for the vast majority to apply. Training is one thing, eating is another, but just like the mind and body, the two are deeply interrelated and dependent on one another. Here's my observation. Those who train routinely and who don't struggle with showing up and doing the work are often extremely lax or out of control when it comes to choosing the best possible diet for health, as in one that is real and genomically compatible. That means the locks and keys all fit. You put the food in, there's no opposition, there's no chemistry issue, it's just like smooth and harmonic. That's the way food should be in our mouth, in our digestive system, blood, and on a cellular level. Now, if you eat as hard as you train, you're putting the same energy into thinking about diet and food as you are about your workouts in the gym and performance on the field, pool, or track. Whatever sport you play, optimum nutrition, better nutrition, can help you do it better, both directly in terms of energy, power, and endurance, and indirectly in terms of preventing inflammation and disease pathology down the road. And that's what a lot of the young people don't get. They are not thinking ahead. They're eating just to satisfy taste. And, of course, in today's world, you can't do that because you're going to be eating a lot of toxic, poisonous food. Eating as hard as you train is comparable to squeezing out sets and reps in the gym until you feel the burn. Eating as hard as you train means you eat as hard as you run or sprint. Eating hard means you eat like a scientist, committed to reason. Well, on this edition of Clinical Review, my topic is the science of living well, with special emphasis on life extension and healthy aging. And, of course, this is the topic and title of my lecture series that I just completed two in Wisconsin with my two CSNA students. And so we're going to continue on with this topic and explore all of the different ways that are currently known and identified that are associated with extending life, maintaining quality, vitality, and energy, and protecting cells as we age over time so that we can retain the value of the youth and carry that over into the second half. You know, when we get through the middle age at 50, 60, we want the second half, the next portion of our life, to be filled with quality so that we can take advantage of the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding that has taken us 50 years to reach a state in that way. But I do want to mention that I have a new column with Vancouver Lifestyles Online Magazine dedicated to this topic, and I want to thank Michael Chenier for the opportunity to write and report on this marvelous topic with his magazine. I just love it. I love investigating telomeric DNA and how the telomeres actually shorten with each cell division and how telomerase is now being investigated as the key enzyme to preventing that from occurring. And if they figure out how to do this, it could mean that we could perpetually live like a species of jellyfish, which is immortal, like our cancer cells, which are immortal, like our gamete cells, our sexually reproductive cells, egg and sperm, they're also immortal. So they will just continuously divide until they reach a state as being a created human being, where all of a sudden that stops, there's a repression, and the telomeres begin to shorten, and we experience what we call senescence or aging. But this topic is as real as life itself to me. It's over the course of many future editions, I will investigate those things, practices, and procedures that pertain to the compression of morbidity and extension of human life as we know it now that we're living in this beautiful 21st century. Now, strategies and measures revealed and verified by modern science are available, and they're coming from clinicians in the field. They're coming at us from anti-aging physicians, A4M. That's a good channel to focus on. This group of anti-aging physicians, the American Academy of Anti-Aging, A4M, get connected to that because that's going to give you access to some blogs and to some audio tutorials and information on what is known currently, what these doctors are doing to extend life. Now, here's a good point. Outside of responding with urgency by necessity to something like myocardial infarction, acute injury, or infection with appropriate emergency medical care, I can think of no other phenomenon more significant than the extension of life itself, provided such life, of course, is adequately sustained by a measurable degree of quality equal to its length. So as we age, we don't want to take a nosedive. We want to keep the quality up. I, for one, am not interested in any technology that extends life at the cost of my independence, freedom, or moral dignity. I don't want to be attached to a machine and not have any self-awareness. Please pull the plug, okay? One of you students out there, if I'm attached to a machine incognito, get into that environment and pull the plug. Please give me the dignity to depart the way that I'm designed to do, because going from life to so-called death is exactly the same to me as coming from nothing to life, because you're not in the sperm of your father and you're not in the egg of your mother, and those things come together. It's called human reproduction, and all of a sudden this new being is formed. So prior to that event, where did you come from? Well, you came from nothing. And that's exactly where the universe came from, and I think it's all tied in. But anyway, my interest in this field is enormous. It's self-serving. I want to know how to stay alive and well and functional. And is there anything wrong with that? First, I want to extend my life as an athlete and functional human being. Second, I want to live long without any evidence of disease, disability, or degeneration. I look at the stuff that people have in their bodies, and it doesn't look like fun. I don't want that. And third, I want to preserve my mind and body, but not for public display in a museum, you know, in glass, in formaldehyde. Like nutrition and fitness, my brain and the house it lives in, as in my body, are equal in importance and value. So my self-awareness, my concept of who and what I am, I'm a sentient being and I'm aware of myself. So that has to have a place to live. I can't jump from one body to the next. I'm kind of stuck with this body. So I've got to look after the body that I am stuck in. That's how it works. And it seems as if as the body deteriorates prematurely or terminates quickly, I lose myself, the who and what I am. It's intimately tied in. So the two go hand in hand. So I can physically look after the form and then pursue an intellectual progressive lifestyle so that I can develop my brain, my mind, my neural potential, and enjoy life to the fullest. Now, since the dawn of my early youth, I can't remember not being curious about life, as in knowing exactly what it is or where it goes when it disappears. I'm enormously curious about these things. I'm professionally trained as a naturopath and health practitioner, of course, and I have a huge interest in physics, biology, biochemistry, and physiology, but my oath of do no harm, primum non nocere, first do no harm, is by my own admission self-directed. It's about me. It's everything's about me, because if there is no me, there's no world to perceive. So everything is about me. Everything I do is coming from inside, not the outside. I'm self-directed. I can take lessons from the world and people, and I can take advice, and I can decide to do what they suggest, but it's me doing it. So let's be responsible. Now, I want to live, and I want to live well. So if there is a path that leads to James Hilton's Shangri-La, as depicted in one of my favorite movies, The Lost Horizon, and if it is possible to follow, then I will follow it. And I don't care how difficult or challenging it is, I'll do it, because like freedom, the quest for life is worth the risk of losing it. In other words, it's so important to be alive that you have to put life itself at risk. And this is what science is all about. The great scientists put themselves at risk in the pursuit of the truth. As a rational being of self-interest, I want to know what to do to stay well. Freedom of disease is one thing, but the preservation of natural biological function long-term is another, and I emphasize long-term. I want to look good and feel good for as long as possible, and therefore I definitely want to know what steps to take. But what does science have to say about longevity and healthy aging? Is it possible to remain free of chronic disease lifelong? Are we designed by nature to be well or not? Did we evolve to simply crumble and fade away after fulfilling our reproductive purpose? After we transfer our genes into the next generation, are we no good for nothing? Is most chronic disease man-made, or is natural medicine nothing more than an illusion for fools or a marketing scam? To achieve a brilliant standard of optimum health and wellness, we have to know what optimum health and wellness is. But how do we know what optimum health is or looks like if we've never experienced or seen it? To achieve optimum health and sustain it for a century, we obviously have to know what things to avoid and what habits to embrace. How else can one extend the virtue of one's life? But as a philosopher, I know by experience that self-regulation, self-control, and self-mastery are essential to this task. Without stability of mind and emotional self-control, it simply is not possible to attain the highest level of health and wellness. Knowledge of health is useless without self-control or the desire to be well. Without the inner fortitude and cognitive capacity to control our behavior, the benefits of good health and life extension science are wasted on wishful thinking. How can we apply the principles known to provide the benefits of agelessness, youthfulness, and vitality consistently if we can't conduct ourselves accordingly with discipline? Do we really have what it takes to get the job done? I say yes, we do, we all do, but most people don't realize it and have convinced themselves otherwise. Well, after observing an extensive surplus of aberrant human behavior worldwide, it is blatantly obvious that most of us struggle with doing what's right consistently. What do I mean by doing what's right? I mean applying proven principles that preserve health, prevent disease, and create harmony and balance in the soul. I mean not hurting or causing harm to other people. I also mean not doing anything to ourselves that we know in the spirit of true enlightenment and self-awareness is destructive, harmful, or negative. To live well long-term, we must move forward in the spirit of selfish benevolence, progress, and personal growth. We have to keep our head up, eyes open, and find a solution for what some perceive as an inherent self-destructive behavior or nature. We have to create and sustain a true health consciousness dedicated to the preservation and extension of life. Now, the title here, The Science of Living Well, I want to explain what I mean by that exactly. Science is the search for truth, but not for certainty. And this is huge. There's a big difference between truth and certainty. Beware of anyone who is certain of anything, as all human knowledge is fallible and therefore uncertain. Science, from the Latin word scientia, means knowledge. Knowledge is based on a continuous stream of data derived from the objective investigation of reality. Our current understanding of everything, therefore, must always be open to falsification. If new knowledge or crucial evidence is presented, and it always is, We must move our prejudice aside and humbly accept our own misinterpretation of the truth, however naive, misguided, or absurd. Keep that word evidence in the back of your mind, because without it, you simply haven't got a case. Evidence is crucial. Imagine having no evidence in the court of law to convict someone of a murder they didn't commit, or they did. You need evidence, and you need hardcore evidence to make hardcore conclusions about reality. I love this quote from Bertrand Russell. There can't be a practical reason for believing what isn't true. Either the thing is true or it isn't, and if it is true, you should believe it, and if it isn't, you shouldn't. If you can't find out whether it's true or whether it isn't, you should suspend judgment. Now, personally, that's the approach I take. There's a lot of stuff out there that we can't explain that appears to be supernatural. I hold back. I don't put my eggs in any basket unless I can verify that, number one, there is a basket to put eggs into. And I like evidence, and I'm in no rush. So I don't need to make a decision about something that possibly, logically, appears to be nothing. So rather than believe in something that is nothing and live by faith alone, I choose to take a more rational approach, use evidence, and when it comes to exercise, nutrition, living well, health, wellness, that is all rational, that's all evidence-based, and that will preoccupy my entire life and provide me with huge amounts of satisfaction and love, love for life, love for self, and that's what a lot of people are struggling with. Well, the word well, W-E-L-L, is the root of wellness, but what does it mean? The scientific meaning is health and freedom from disease, but the intuitive alternative medical definition is much richer. Wellness means a balance of mind, body, and spirit, and results in an overall feeling of well-being. The National Wellness Institute defines wellness as an active process of becoming aware of and making choices toward a more successful existence. So if you're well, you're actually actively pursuing wellness. If you're not pursuing wellness, you're not well. It's that simple. Wellness is the currency of energy that sustains life. To be well is to be whole. Optimum health means functioning at our peak and highest level, allowing us to achieve our maximum potential. Dr. Emmanuel Taraskin, MD, described health as the ability to achieve what you need and what you want with energy and enthusiasm. So the needs come first, the biological needs come first, the wants come after, and be careful with focusing on want exclusively, because the Buddha said that as we increase our desire for everything and people, the suffering increases, the misery increases. I want, I want, I want. Those kind of people are usually very, very unhappy. But when your needs are met and you're satisfied with less, those people are generally much happier. Optimum health provides us with the insight necessary to define our goals and the motivation required to achieve them. When we are truly well, we are able to adapt to change and stress without significant damage. That's big. Now, the science of living well is a 21st century philosophy of wellness. It's an integrated, diverse, and eclectic approach to living that complies with rational thought and empirical evidence. It recognizes specific laws of health and constants that define our existence. Life is a sport. You've all heard me say this. I really, truly believe this. We are athletes engaged in the game, and the object is to play according to the rules. The goal is to succeed at being well. That's when you're a winner. You're well, and you've made an attempt to be well, and you followed the rules, and you've obeyed the program, and you didn't cheat. You showed up in shape, and you stayed in shape, and you worked hard. You're well. You are succeeding in the game of life. You're well. The rules are defined by nature, and reality is our judge and jury. Those who play according to the rules live the longest and have the most fun, because they have the least amount of suffering, decay, disability, and degeneration. The purpose of life is to live well. The meaning of life is to live with meaning. We are responsible for defining our own life purpose and discovering its true meaning, but during that process, the pursuit of wellness must remain a constant, like the speed of light. That's a constant. It never changes. It's never more. It's never less. It's always the same. For without life, no purpose remains. In subsequent editions on topics related to life extension and healthy aging, I am going to explore numerous theories related to life extension, including stem cell therapy, some really cool stuff there, calorie restriction, how does it work? Why do animals and worms live longer when calories combined with added vitamins are controlled? Why do they live longer when they have less food coming in? What about cortical remapping, neuroplasticity? This is such exciting stuff. Blue zone philosophy. Man, I've done a lot of research on the work of Dan Buettner and the National Geographic Society and what they've discovered about blue zones, the places on the planet, there's five of them, where people live the longest with the best health, and they're all like 95 to 105. It's amazing. What do they do? What are the characteristics of the life that they live? We're going to explore that. And, of course, the proven life extension benefits of exercise, nutrition, and dietary supplements. And I might note that these are proven, documented, and taught in university. So we have a lot to learn. I love this field. Sports nutrition is about life and learning and living and health and wellness. That's what it's all about. So, yes, sports nutrition might bring up the idea of sport, and it should. We're engaged as athletes in the sport of life. Let's succeed at living and being well. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Ben Harper, American singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist. Life is short, and if you're looking for extension, you had best do well. Because there's good deeds, and then there's good intention, and they're as far apart as heaven and hell.